Brisbane's better when you're listening to Stav, Abby and Matt. Visit Brisbane City Council's website to find out how council is making Brisbane better too.
Brisbane wakes up with Stav, Abby and Matt on B105.
Hi, thank you for downloading the podcast, everybody. You guys can come in, even if we're recording the podcast. We always like extra people on the podcast.
Greg and I were having chat about vaginas today.
Are we? Were we?
Greg is our audio producer. Mm-hmm. What were you guys discussing about them?
Well,
how wonderful they are.
Kegel exercise.
Yes, the girls out there have never done them before, which was surprising. And I was saying you have to because it's very good for your health. And as a former ballerina,
I've done them.
Greg is all across them. And he was explaining that you need to do it for men too, because later in life they get a very bad string.
Yeah, I only learnt that about you the other week. You're talking about it. You ballet for, no, not you do your Kegels.
My whole life.
How long did you dance for?
I retired when I was 25. Wow. From an injury.
Because you got quite advanced.
Yeah, I was professional.
Like, yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah,
what's your favourite ballet?
Probably Giselle.
Oh my God!
I don't know what that is.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
That's how all ballet aficionados respond.
Oh my God.
I do like the Nutcracker.
Yeah, Nutcracker's good.
Well, classic.
May I ask, because yes. It's probably not rare, but in my circles, I don't know, you're the only male ballerina I've met. Was that something as a young man doing? Because it would be very easy for other young men to tease you about as a kid.
Well, I went to an all-boys school too.
Mm. Yeah.
But I played rugby and I was a swimmer. So that kind of got me out of trouble somehow. Yeah.
Okay.
And as I had a friend of mine was a male ballet dancer and he went on to it and he said, yeah, it's awful because you go backstage and there's all naked women around you and you're the only man. And he's like, it's just awful. Sweet. And you just saw all these boys go, oh yeah.
But it's brave because a lot of young boys would not do it even if they had a...
It's podcast, you're allowed to have a phone call.
even if they had a passion for it, they would not follow it because they'd be worried about getting teased.
No, well, I think it's a bit different now from when I was a young man.
your own little Billy Elliot.
I always like it when all the boys school now it's like, oh my God, are you auditioning for the musical? Like, you know, and it's such an honour for it. So it really has changed.
Apparently my old school has a full performing arts centre. And dancing and all that sort of stuff. Boys' school, dancing, all that sort of stuff is embraced now.
Yeah, I love that.
It's different.
You know? Yeah, that's great. So you can ask your injury? Like, what did you...
Oh, I had a back injury and a knee injury, but the back was the problem.
Right.
I could have kept going, but the issue was that I was not having enough time to do music and other things.
Yeah,
I needed to give it up.
And lifting girls.
Lifting heifers around, you know.
Alrighty, so here we go. The podcast today will have Alpha Bucks answers in it. It's all about Pink as well. We've announced huge news about Pink. Let's get stuck in.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Our online producer, she is new to Brizzy. She's been living in Melbourne, Steph.
Yes.
You've got a party coming up.
I know, I feel so popular.
Okay, cool. But is it a dress up? It's a theme dress up?
Yeah, it is. I had no idea what the theme was and I still sort of don't really understand it. But it's Ascot Mums in Mykonos.
Specific.
Right. So these are friends you've made here in Brisbane, are they? They obviously grew up here.
Is it a pool party?
No, it's like a nighttime,
let's
get lit party.
So would that be Toorak in Melbourne?
I would say Brighton. Yeah, Toorak, Brighton sort of area in Melbourne.
So Ascot here is the richest suburb. Yeah. That would have to be the richest suburb. And you drive up through all the hills, like through the river, and you know how it's quite hilly there, and the mansions are just huge.
Huge. They're usually drunk by 11:30 in the morning.
On gin.
Oh, sounds like fun.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, that's a stereotype. Cruises. If anyone is from Ascot and wants to say that's not true, hilarious, you won't be listening to us. But you're so welcome to join the show, 131060, because there is a Facebook page everyone loves it here, and it's Korea. I've got one. I'm an Ascot mum.
Generally, they're attractive women who found older, richer men and sort of just settled into that lifestyle.
Mm.
Also, a great neighbourhood to go around to when they're doing hard rubbish collection.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know if you can stereotype enough, really, if you're an Ascot mum. So you just have to wear everything designer.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is the last post that, well, from New Year's, which I love. Korea, I've got one. I'm an Ascot mum. Just woke up, happy 2023, what's hot and what's not. They've done a list. So they did a list of what's hot is Sicily.
Okay.
White Lotus, Oak Mill, Flying Private, Surrogacy, Kathy Hilton.
Too posh to push, baby. you outsource that. Mm-hmm.
Pre-ordered Range Rovers, Porsche Electric, mm-hmm. and then not is calling someone babe, TikTok dancers, Uber, influencers, seamless wine glasses.
What's a stemless wine?
Stemless. Oh, sorry, yeah. sorry.
Uh-oh, I've got some of those at home.
Stemless wine glasses, they're out.
They're out.
Yeah. Dessert bars are out. Adidas collab with Louis Vuitton.
That's out.
Peasants
have been out. They've never been in.
So I shouldn't be going to this party then.
No, because it's a role-playing party.
I'm so excited. Mm. I'm going to full glasses it, I think, and be real bougie.
You're going to look like Barb and Star go to Del Mar.
That just flew over my head. I have no idea what you just
said. Google it, we'll get your outfit.
It's not even Kardashians. I think you have to go Hilton's.
Ah, so we're doing Paris vibes.
Isn't there
Hilton's mum.
Oh,
but they're not. They're kind of trying to be fashionable, so they kind of miss the mark, don't they? But it's all very expensive stuff.
You don't think Paris is trying to be fashionable? Everything she wears is designer.
No, what I'm saying is she is fashionable. I think the Ascot mums miss it, and they're trying to. You know?
No,
it's
got
to be a bit gaudier. Got to be a bit showy offy.
Yeah, it's more like heaps of money, heaps of time.
Mm.
You know, so I think maybe it looks like they're unfashionable because they've got so much time and cash that they just buy stuff that they don't necessarily put together.
Put together well.
They said, this is on their Facebook page, mistakenly stumbled onto something called a city cat after a boozy Christmas lunch on the river today. Utter chaos. I didn't see any cats nor hear any meowing, just full of very plain-looking people. Europe is calling.
This is good. So Meg's calling in from Acacia Ridge this morning. Great suburb.
Mm.
You actually went to school in Ascot, Meg.
Yeah, I went to St. Margaret's and it is crazy there. So you would think, when you're older, you just want to be the housewife.
Yeah, that's your goal.
Yeah, yeah. We'd always talk about it at school. That was the thing to talk about.
Really, was it? What do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah, it was if uni doesn't work out, we'll just be a housewife. It'll be fine.
Wow.
Okay. So the girls at at school would sit around and talk about how they would just want to find a rich husband, not actually get a career.
Yeah, definitely would be one of the topics that would be talked about 100%.
Are you friends with any of the girls still and people live in Ascot still?
Yeah, look, everyone was lovely, but just so much money. It's crazy.
And you lived in Acacia Ridge and went to school in Ascot, or did you live there?
I've just moved to Acacia Ridge, so I've graduated a few years out of now.
Oh, yeah.
So is your mum still in Ascot?
Oh, well, I was actually a boarder, so it's a boarding school.
Oh, okay. Right.
Don't get me wrong, I've still got goals.
Oh, yeah. We only hate them because we ate them.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to be one, but yeah.
Yeah. School pickup. Outsource that.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
We were told about this about a week ago, so we have been tight-lipped.
I didn't tell anyone.
Oh, it's been hard though, right?
Uh-huh.
The studio is pink this morning. It's absolutely amazing. She's the greatest to go and see. You have to go and see Pink. If you've seen her before, you'll definitely want to go and see her again. And B105 does have the most tickets. We're going to give away a lot.
Yeah. The other thing is it's going to be a whole different experience. Even if you saw the last shows, this is her first time in Suncorp Stadium. You know, the entertainment center I'm sure was amazing, but you know what it's like in Suncorp, open roof, the grounds covered, the whole thing will be full of fans.
It's gonna be epic.
Right, so here right now we are going to give away the tickets
to the 105th caller. We're going to do 105.3, but it's just too hard. 105. That's a hard thing. Do you call straight away knowing that everyone is calling?
Yes. Okay, Michelle in North Lakes.
Oh my God! Hello.
Hi.
What number do you think you are?
What number do you think you've called?
I hope I'm the 105th.
You're 27.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Sorry. Keep calling.
All right, you can hang up and call back.
Yeah. Well, that's what everyone's doing. So hang up all the lines. All right. Call back.
Let's do it. Here we go. 131060, light up the phones right now. Caller 105. They're going to win those tickets this morning.
Tracy in Greenbank. Do you have a feeling? Do you have a feeling about what number you are?
I have everything crossed. For 105?
Sorry, no. You were caller number 50. Sorry. Sorry, Tracy. That's hard to do. I don't like doing that.
Yeah, I don't like doing this one silent. Sorry, I'm leaving it for Maddie.
I can't do it. Make us do the dirty work.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to change?
Yeah, good point. Hey, Tara.
Hi.
Guess what?
What?
Caller 35.
Oh. Our first gentleman caller, John in Albany Creek. John.
Oh, yeah? Mm,
do you think you've got it?
My luck, I'm probably 104.
Oh.
No, I know exactly why Stav picked you.
Your luck, you're 69.
Oh, yes.
Don't sound disappointed.
Thanks, anyway.
Hang up, buddy.
Sorry.
See you, mate.
Try and call back. Still
we're getting
time.
There. We're getting there.
Mm. Heading out to Elise in Middle Park. Morning, Elise.
Hi, how are you?
Good. We're getting up there. What number do you think you are?
Hopefully the number that we are needing for the ticket.
It sounds like you don't know what number we're needing.
No.
We need 105. Please. You are number 80. Sorry, Elise. Sorry.
I know. Bugger.
Sorry.
That's okay.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye. Right.
It is cruel. It is cruel. We've got more tickets coming, though, right?
Yes, that's true. We've got to start. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. The one and only Pink. She's bringing her summer carnival tour to Suncorp Stadium Friday, Feb 16 next year. Tickets are going on sale Friday, 10 o'clock, livenation.com.au.
Everyone is ringing, hanging up. We've got two.
Have a go, Abby. You've got to do one.
Katrina.
You could have the winner.
Hello.
Hi. You love Pink?
Oh, my God, I love. She's amazing.
Stav's going to tell you what number you are.
95, sorry.
Sorry.
Oh, damn.
I know, what a cruel man he is.
All right, let's get it done. Renee and Caboolture, hello.
Hello.
Guess
hello.
What?
Yes.
Call 104.
Oh, no.
Which means, are you ready?
Are you ready?
Next one.
Ashley and Griffin.
Oh, my God. Hello?
We don't do things by half, so you are caller 105.
Oh my God!
We are serious. You have the very first tickets to go and see Pink. Have you seen her before, Ash?
What? Is she talking to us?
Are you there?
Oh my God, my
heart
is
screaming.
Ash,
take a breath. Take a breath.
Oh, I can't.
Okay,
I'm
no, that's
so
fine. No, that right. is exciting. Have you seen Pink before?
No, I haven't.
Oh, wow.
I keep
missing
out on tickets, so I was like, I must.
Yeah, like, take your breath, Ash.
We know you're
excited. They wanted the music on, and I was like, no, stop.
Yeah, hang tight, hang tight, okay. Thank you, well done. Wow, that's good.
I mean, what'd you expect?
Hey, what we will tell you, though, we know there's a lot of disappointed people, all right, because a lot of people want these tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Stay with us. B105, Monday morning.
Yes.
It is a Make It Rain. Every caller who gets on air Monday morning with us mm-hmm. during the show will get a double pass to see Pink at Suncorp Stadium.
Oh, so well, listen in on Monday. We want to hear a lot of people going, oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
We're going to need a translator.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Cricketing legend Shane Warne's will has been revealed when he sadly passed away. It must take some time for them to go through the legalities, and it's been revealed that he had a $20.7 million estate handed down to his three children, which I would say of course to be expected.
Fair enough.
Yeah, 31% has been, and then I think the other bit, a few percent, has been divided between his brother.
Okay.
His brother and also his brother's children, two children, and then he got his cars to his son. People are like, why does his son get extra? I don't know. They've worked it out, though. But
none of your business.
Maybe the girls might not have wanted them.
They probably didn't want a car.
Yeah.
Yeah, the motorbike, the BMW and the Mercedes. You know, they've probably talked about it before. And my parents always talk about it. Just letting you know in the wheel, this person's the executive. Yep, we get it. We trust him more than we trust ourselves. We understand. We get that. But I've always been a bit icky about it. I don't enjoy talking about it, all that sort of stuff. But then over the holidays, we decided that we had to go and get a will. And we went to go and see someone and they sent it through yesterday.
Right.
And I was like, that's really nice that they have kept all our wishes in there because they ask you a series of questions. And Maddie, you've done one before.
Yeah.
And you can just get one from the post office and do it as well. And they ask you different questions of who's going to get it. And we're like, yep, evenly to the kids. I was like, no one's getting anything until they're 25 when they go through their
ages. You put conditions on it. Even your death has a condition on it.
Of course it does. So they would be disappointed if I just said, lovelies, I trust you. Here you go. They'd be like, that's not mum's. We want it checked. Yeah, 25. I wanted to do 30.
Why?
Why? Because if our kids are you know, Scotty and I, we were not good. We didn't really pull our heads in until we were a couple of years ago.
So it's about the partners they might have at the time.
No. If they're anything like us.
Oh, okay. You mean they might blow it all.
Loose kids, you know? Mm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, you were responsible. Scotty and I were not. We met when we were later in life and we still, you know, went out Monday, came home.
So
the following Monday.
So what do I get?
Oh, you get nothing.
Oh.
But they do have, and I thought of you because they have special items in their stuff, and I thought of you about this because they said, "Do you have anything special that you want to leave?" And I was like, "We don't own anything, and this is other than jewelry."
Yeah.
But for you could put your Pez collection, and who gets that?
Mm.
And it doesn't have to be a value.
Oh, he'll be buried with that, wouldn't you?
And like you a pharaoh. Could say that, and we did that because it was said, "Would you like to be buried?" And
I'm going to get my coffin to look like a Pez dispenser.
Oh, and so can you peel it back and your head pops out?
And everyone gets candy.
Yeah.
We are going.
I love it. I might come now.
Yeah, cool.
But we put in there, they said, do you want to get buried? Do you want to get cremated? And Scotty and I are looking at each other saying, we don't know. And my brother's like the executive of the will. And they're like, it's just so that he knows your wishes. And you can talk to him and tell him. And I said, can you actually put in there that we are cremated? And they said, where would you like your ashes to be? And I said, can you please write in there, surprise us.
Very good.
That's great.
I love it.
He's like, what? And I said, put in there, surprise us. So he's going to surprise us.
Mm.
Where is there somewhere, do you reckon? Because if that was me, if my sisters did that to me, I would be a proper brother and put them somewhere I know they wouldn't want to go.
Yeah.
Like he's, just to have the last.
Mm-hmm.
It's my eldest brother.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's kind and gentle. And we don't know if he's part of the family yet, but we trust him the most. Yeah. He's just.
He might keep you. On the mantle.
Oh, no, he doesn't love us that much. He's just so chilled. I don't know where he got it from.
Right.
But I think he would do the beach.
Yeah.
We always love the beach.
The beach is a classic. Out and they take you out to the ocean.
Yeah. And... yeah. I don't know. Maybe he would. Maybe he would have the laugh. And he's like, I'm not really that calm. I've just been saving it for this moment.
I mean, where do you scatter them?
It's always
people like the beach or like in the bush or Disneyland apparently is rife with being scattered.
Apparently so. Is there, on the slide.
But you're not allowed to, didn't they?
No, they put it in your pocket and walk around douching it out.
But I would think it would be the beach that we grew up on.
Oh, down Glenelg.
South Bank?
South Bank
Marino,
Beach. That's
Marino.
The beach I want to be scattered at. I want to be scattered at South Bank.
I mean, I will do it while eating a street paddle pop. Scattering going, it's what he would have loved.
And if they ask, because it sounds ridiculous, it was one of my first jobs and I loved it.
That's
I was selling ice creams.
Yeah,
imagine you guys down there all dressed in black, just throwing ashes into the pool.
Off the top of Stefan Sky Needle. Mr. Brisbane, be
I
up there.
I wanted to go to Scotland. Ah, well, same thing. Here we go.
He would appreciate the saving of money.
We'll have a bagpipe playing there at the same time.
Just
if
the
you like. But 13, 10, 60, if you do have something in a will, or was there some sort of different request from it? Because I just like asking, getting asked all the questions. I was like, I wonder how people answer this.
Well, it's pretty much anything. Like our will wasn't super straightforward, but because Ethan, our eldest, isn't my biological son, we had to make sure that the will said that I wanted all three of my children, him, Xander, Eden, all to have exactly the same, no matter what, because that could get contested.
Yeah,
and I didn't realise this. And I was saying to him, you know, he goes, specifically, a lot of people come and want to leave out a child that they've got nothing to do with. And I was like, that's awful. I said, do you ask why? And he goes, well, I have to, because when that child comes to me, I need to be able to give them the reasons.
Yeah.
And then often they will contest the will.
Your parents just hated you, Tom.
Yeah.
You're an accident.
Yeah. But you would know by that stage, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and you can contest it anyway. So it doesn't really matter. And apparently it doesn't cost you to contest it.
Some elder people...
In Queensland, it's different rules for each state.
I've heard of this happening where they'll give all their children different coloured dots. stickers.
Oh,
and before they die, they go around the house and they put the dots on what they want, and then they can write that into their will so they know that everyone's getting what they
want. So you go into the
do.
House first and you change all the dots. And you're like, I don't know why they're all the blue dots and that's me. I'm so sorry.
I've sworn my red dot was on the Ferrari. No, it was yellow. Carla in Narangbar, what was in a will?
Hey there. My mum passed from cancer when myself and my siblings were really quite young. Mm-hmm. She had in her will that she really wasn't comfortable with either being buried or with being cremated. So my siblings and my grandparents and I sort of had to have that discussion about what that would look like. Mm-hmm. And her only sort of point that she put in was that we really needed to ensure that she was very definitely dead.
Happens, Carla.
So she had that written in there, did she?
Yeah.
Oh, yep, that
was, so she was obviously scared of being buried alive.
And just to sort of, I don't know, because I was 21, my brother was 20, my sister was 14, just to sort of, I don't know, tone it down and
you lighten the mood a bit.
Yeah.
I guess so, you guys, did you laugh when that was read?
We did sort of giggle a little bit. Sort of that was how she sort of tried to play the journey, just to sort of take it down and not have it so hard and serious.
Does leave you in a bit of a legal conundrum, though, because if it turns out, if you go to double check and she's not dead, do you then finish her off?
We had her at home. Right. We had her at home because we're Kiwi, so had her at home for some time first. So mm-hmm. we were fairly comfortable that it was definite.
I love the way that Kiwis do it. It's a fantastic way to celebrate the death. I love it.
It was really special.
Yeah.
What did you end up deciding? Cremation or burial?
We buried her.
Yeah. Oh. Well, there you go. Thank you for your call, Carla. Appreciate that.
All good.
Have a great day.
Reading this, I just know that you're going to put something strange in there now, aren't you?
Oh, 100%.
This is going to be the only reason why you're going to do a will, isn't
Yes, it is.
You'll get mummified and put in the B105 reception, wouldn't you?
That's a solid idea.
He is already.
Just got out of my will.
Sweet. Send him all over.
Hey, Denise in Collingwood Park. Hey, have you got something a bit different in yours?
I do. So you said about leaving one of your children out of your will. Yeah. I've done that.
Yeah, because it was a weird, like, because they ask all these questions and whether you want to and for what reason. And what reason you gave?
My reason is quite solid.
Yeah.
So my husband and I are both in our 50s. We have two sons, one who's 30 and one who's 28. And our 30-year-old, we've been estranged with for probably half of his life now. Right. So we've been estranged from him for about 15 years because of his mental health and drug use.
Right.
And you can only try and force someone for so long and then you have to stop for your own mental health.
Yeah. And you've tried everything, no doubt. And you just, that's heartbreaking.
However, he then went on to make a baby with a one-night stand who then lived with the mother, who also had drug and mental health issues, for 2 years, and we now have custody of their daughter.
Right.
So we have full custody of their daughter. We've had her since she's 2. She's now 8.
Wow.
She has lots of issues and is quite damaged because of her first 2 years of life. Mm. So his share of what would have been in the will, we've left to her. Other son is the executor of our will. And she can't get any of it till she's 21 because I think she'll be quite a difficult teenager. however, he can contest it because he's actually entitled to it more than she is.
Yeah, that's what I can't get my head around. Like, you do a will because they're your wishes, but then people are able to contest it. It seems like...
What's the point of it?
It doesn't actually seem fair. Yeah. Like, Denise, you've got your reasons and you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're very firm with them and you've come to peace with them with how hard you are. It seems so hard that your wishes then aren't fulfilled because it is your money and your property. I don't understand the contesting of the will.
Well, we actually have a lawyer who's called through, a non-lawyer.
Anonymous.
We'll just call you a non-lawyer. I like it. Mm-hmm. What's the go here with the contesting?
Hi. Okay, it's called, in Queensland, it's called a family provision application. It's made so that family members who believe they've been cut out of the will, as you put it, can apply. There's a really high threshold for it, though. You have to prove that without benefit of the estate, you're in a financially difficult position.
Okay.
And it's quite a convoluted and expensive process, depending on the estate. So if you've got a big estate, it can cost several $100,000. If it's a smaller estate, depending on the legal fees, it can still cost between $5,000 and $25,000, $30,000.
Why are we hearing more about contesting the wheel? Like back in the day, I don't think we used to hear about it as much. Is it just seems to be making more headlines, or it's always been the case?
It's been the case, but also what, and this is anecdotal, I think there's a lot of families that are sadly under the pressure of modern society are disintegrating, and then therefore mum and dad are cutting so-and-so out of the will because of what the estrangement, and then, you know, that individual is seeking legal advice and those applications are subsequently being made. It's a complex question, and it's one that I'm sure quite clever ladies and gentlemen are writing their PhD theses on as we speak.
Yeah, I guess
because I don't feel like someone's inheritance is their right.
Given, yeah, no.
Depends how annoying the parents were. Put up with
all right, you're right. That's where law's very confused because I'd like to take every situation on its own.
Stav, Abby, and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Well, I want to talk about this idea of mental load today. This might be related to the mental load or the mental clutter that we take around day to day with us.
You guys know that I'm always looking for a wife. That is my dream, if I could have a wife or just double myself so that you could share the mental load. And the mental load is, you know, there's a meme going around there. It's like, I need to quit my full-time job so that I can reply back to school emails full-time. Because it's just so much. And how you actually cope with it. It's not just physically busy. It's mentally busy. And how do you cope with it? Is it writing down to-do lists?
Yeah, but I'm clever sometimes. When I write my to-do list, I write things that I've already completed, so I cross it out and I go, look at me achieving.
That's what you're supposed to do. Yeah,
or
well
even like
done.
Put on get out of bed and you can tick that off and
well,
you're
actually,
already rolling.
Let's not answer if that's what you're supposed to do because okay, we've actually idea. Got a psychologist on the line, Ellen Jackson. Tell us how to deal with the mental load. Is Maddie onto something where you tick off what you've already done just to go, ha, I'm so good?
Hi, guys. Look, I don't know if there's any psychological research around that, but I know I do that myself.
I think the other thing too, because I think a lot of people go like, oh, well, you know, I'll just work, do this, I'll get all my busy stuff, do all my to-do things, and then eventually I'll have a holiday. But then you sort of realise, especially if you've got a family, there's more to-dos on a holiday than there is when you're just at home, you know, these days, getting people Absolutely. Everywhere and all that sort of stuff. There doesn't seem to be any break.
It never gets quieter. No, I think that's a little bit of a myth that we all kind of live with, this idea that we'll get finished and done. But
that's
no,
coming from Stav. He got too stressed because he went on too many holidays over Christmas.
It was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous, Ellen.
Who does it better then? Because I always say a lot of women take on, you know, the mental load of kids. And I know that I've constantly got that on and I get frustrated that my husband doesn't do it. But at the same time, are we just complaining about it rather than writing lists and sort of forgetting about it?
Look, I think there's definitely evidence to suggest that there's more, you know, a lot of those household and childcare tasks tend to fall to women. I often think, and this might be a bit controversial, but I often think we're our own worst enemy in some ways, in that we kind of assume that it has to be for us. And when we challenge some of that thinking, like, well, hang on, how come I just default to doing this and don't actually look at whether or not I'm the best person to do it, whether it makes the most sense, whether or not I could actually share that task and then actually have a conversation about it. And often what happens is it's just a big mess of thoughts in our heads. And a really simple strategy that we can use is just to do what I call a brain dump. You just get a notepad and pen, and maybe you do that with your partner, or maybe you do it on your own first, depends a little on your relationship, and just list everything out. So you can say, right, this is all the stuff on my load. And then how do I apportion that? You know, is there stuff we can outsource? Is there stuff that we can share? Is there stuff that I'm just assuming I'm going to do when my partner could do it? So that's a good starting point.
On that list though, Ellen, if you do that with your partner, and controversial also, what if the husband goes, that's actually not that important. We don't need to do that.
Well, there's definitely an element of that, and it's always a little bit risky.
Yeah.
And I suppose that's where good communication comes in. You've got to negotiate. Well, why is it? You know, it might not be important to you because it's not a priority, but maybe it's important to me, and let's talk about why that is. So, you know, trigger for communication, which is always a good thing.
I actually agree with you, Maddie, because I had this argument with a friend of mine because she was like, oh my God, I've just got so much to do. And then I had to go to the parent teacher information night. And I was like, you don't. And she was like, no, I do. I've got to meet the teacher. And I went, but what about if you don't? And that's just me actually listening to my husband saying all those things that you think you need to do, give yourself a break. And I actually think we can learn from it. Where I was like, why do you need to meet the teacher? Like,
And she's like, but I have to. And I was like,
the teacher probably doesn't particularly want to meet you. They're
well,
like,
we need to give ourselves a break and go, the world would actually spin if we don't be this perfect idea of a mum or a perfect idea of a wife or a perfect idea of a husband and actually do learn from each other. And maybe my husband's saying she'll be right. Sometimes I need to learn from it. Not all the time, because otherwise we'll be living in some hippie community.
Great.
Like he would want to. But maybe it is actually just learning and going, a lot of stuff that we think is necessary isn't.
Mm.
You know, that strategy, Abby, is actually a really useful one, that idea of actually challenging some of these ideas. Do I need to do this? Mm. You know, it doesn't need to be done at all, because, again, when we get that busy brain, we will sometimes just, it's almost like we don't pause to think, contemplate whether or not that's actually a really necessary task. You know, we just run with it, and then it contributes to this mental load. So, you know, looking at the list, deciding whether or not, well, do I need to do that? You know, is it actually really important? And is it more important perhaps than some of the other stuff that I need to do on the list right now?
Because we have a busy off.
A busy off.
Yeah. So I've got so much to do today. I've got to do this, this, and this, and this. And oh, I've got to do this, this, and this. And I feel like people get so scared that their importance won't be there unless they are
achieving things.
Or, you know, I'm so busy because I'm across this. It's like a competition. Mm. Just listen to a group of mums. The school event.
Things is important. I was just gonna say, so, yeah, actually, well, one of the things we know from a psychological perspective is when we are able to tick things off the list and get that sense of achievement, that's actually really important to our well-being.
Mm.
One of the kind of, you know, a way the quick win. So while we don't necessarily want to go perhaps down the negative elements or the, you know, the destructive elements of a busy off, actually being able to tick things off. So even if it's breaking things down into tiny little tasks and saying, right, yeah, I got that done, I got that done.
Mm.
You know, that's a what we call a positive contributor to our mental health.
Mm.
Well, it's I think it's the age we live in as well, where everything's going on. There's so much more to do than usual. So let's hope we can get on top of it. Ellen, thank you so much for your time this morning. Hopefully we haven't left you with too much mental load to think about when you leave this interview.
No, she can tick this interview off her list.
You're very welcome. It's been great.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Hot cross buns. Hot cross buns.
Yeah. Get them in ya. Seems like every year after Christmas, hot cross buns appear faster and faster. I think we started seeing them on the shelves this year.
It was the 2nd of Jan.
Was it?
Yeah.
Wow. Getting ready for Easter in April 1st, I think.
Yeah,
it is a little
first,
bit.
It's like no, the first April the 7th. Week of April. It's really
second week
early.
Of April.
I reckon, though, the supermarkets, they'll start doing them on Boxing Day because they want to be the first, so they get the first person to start talking about them on the news going, could you believe Woolworths is already doing it?
Yeah.
It's the free advertising.
It's the 9th of April.
9th of April. Yep. There you go. So that's a good 3 months out. And it seems like every year now there is a unique twist on the traditional hot cross bun. I think we had Vegemite ones 1 year. And
it used to, I mean, there's chocolate as well, but it used
Nutella.
To just be fruit, non-fruit.
Yeah.
Correct, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, originally it was just one and then fruit, non-fruit.
Yeah.
And now this year it's kicked
so
up a stick.
Cinnamony, aren't they? Like the bread is like a cinnamon.
Cinnamon and sultanas and stuff.
I have to think that the cooking of a hot cross buns, traditional, is the best smell in the world.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I would put delicious. That in a perfume.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah. That and petrol. Very nice.
Mm.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
No, I do like that.
Yeah, you do like petrol.
I said that the other day when we were walking.
Where were we? Oh, that's right. We were walking. You could smell petrol.
Yeah. I was like,
let's just stay here for a bit.
It is. When someone's pouring petrol.
I said, that's petrol. And I said, oh, that reminds me of my dad. And he goes, what are you talking about? I'm like, because dad would always put the petrol in the lawnmower.
Yeah,
and it would always spill over, and then he would have to get the metho to clean up anything, and it's just, that. Yeah, the metho.
Yeah. It smells like your father. And this year it's caused a bit of a stink because they have released, Coles have released the new Easter special burger sauce hot cross bun. Now, it is a bit controversial. I like it because if we know anything about Jesus, loved a burger.
He did.
Big loved a burger.
Large Big Mac meal, please.
I think he's more of a Whopper man, wasn't he?
What?
No, he wouldn't go to Hungry Jack's.
He wouldn't go to
Hungry. He'd be a Macca's man for sure.
He was the king of all people. He'd eat a burger.
So what
king.
Is this one we got in front of it?
This is the burger hot cross bun. We've got them in the studio to taste test.
What's that?
For an example, that's pickle, I believe.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Special burger sauce flavoured soft buns with gherkin pieces topped with indulgent tasty
gherkin.
Cheese. Yeah.
Yep. Did you just rip it off? Is that because Steph's filming? Because you would never do that normally.
No, it was a cheesy bit around the edge.
Because you'd be like,
do you never? No, but I always do. You not like if I get a cheese toasty?
I'm sorry. Yeah.
I get the little cheesy bits off the edge. Yeah. And then eat them first, like little chips.
I'm sorry, you guys started eating before I gave you the hints and tips that are on the packet of how to eat.
It's not bad, but it's not a hot cross bun.
Oh no, there's a hint and tip on how
there's
to eat.
Hints and tips on
this
how
is
to
not
eat
a hot cross bun.
Best eaten when microwaved for 20 seconds and served with butter. Perfect for creating your own delicious burger. Just add a burger patty and toppings. Serving
do
suggestion.
Do you ever burger?
Let me try.
You could whack a meat patty and a piece of cheese in this, and that'd be a good time.
Yeah,
you could put anything in a hot cross bun and deal with it, I think.
It's true.
It was good. The thing I would say, it doesn't scream Easter, you know?
And it doesn't smell nice.
It screams late night, what have I got in my cupboard because I haven't got a doner kebab on the way home. Oh, my God, I've got these. That would be perfect.
Yeah. It's more like a bacon and cheese scroll.
Yeah. Mm. But it's got the cross on it, so Jesus.
That's how it works.
You keep saying that. You
that's what they're for. That's what the cross is.
I know, but you say it like an atheist.
I am an atheist.
I know. That's exactly the point. Oh, atheist. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. You can't use
the most hardcore
sarcastic
religion you can be.
Oh, yeah. Just ask me. I'm an atheist.
You did ask.
I know, but I'm just like,
I don't go around advertising it. But I will eat a hot cross bun for Jesus.
Uh-huh. There we go.
Mm. Oh, well.
That's right.
Interesting, though.
The good thing about them is one of them will feed like 400 people.
You've never read the Bible.
No.
I read
you
the
know
end.
What? If you do look far enough in, it says he turned a hot cross bun into a Big Mac. And so here it is right now this morning.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
I get it. I'm not a big black person of, you know, people popping in and like I was just in the area. I like to be a little bit warned because we are a naked family and I'd like to have a little bit of the mess tidied
That's
up.
That's why people what? Pop in.
I'm not a big
hello. You in there?
You were just
but
here.
At the same time, I don't mind Scotty's friends popping in. That's not a naked thing. I'm saying no.
Right,
can I just
no.
All I'm saying is they're not.
You don't have to dress up for them because they are what they are.
I don't have to do any effort. And this is how the conversation always goes, and it happens quite a bit. Oh, hey, can you make your husband answer the phone? And I go, no, I can't. You know I can't. This is why I have find my friends on my app to be able to locate him. I can't get him to answer a phone. So then they'll walk straight into the house. They'll walk into the backyard, which is where Scotty will always be in his happy place, and go, Scotty, answer your phone. He's like, oh, sorry, mate. I didn't have it on me.
But then perfect. So he goes, well, you're here now. What do you want?
Yeah. He does not care. He just does not do it. You just can't get him to do it.
Yeah.
But he said to me, "I what do we got on this weekend? And I was like, this weekend coming? He's like, yeah, I'm just looking at the calendar. I can't really work it out. And I was like, you can't work it out? Or you're not happy with the what's in it because it's pretty explanatory. It's got the kids' sports. It's got the kids' parties of what we got on.
Yeah, but am I required for any of that?
That's exactly what he said.
I can't see anything on there for me.
So him saying, can you translate it? Is like, how much trouble am I going to be if I'm not here?
I see stuff on ours all the time, but I think I'm not needed.
That's what he goes, the kids' party, is that like drop off? And I said, it's in Coa's column. And then we're trying to have a conversation. We don't remember with a 4-year-old, can you do drop-off parties? Mm. We're like, no, I don't think you can. So, yes, that is required. Mm. And he goes, because I've signed up for something. Yeah. And the reason that his mate was coming over, because his mate is involved in what he signed up for.
Okay. Army reserves. 2 weeks a year. 1 week
wouldn't
a month.
Wouldn't be enough. He'd want more away. He's doing a waterproof course.
Okay.
And you know what I mean? I love it. If anyone's upskilling or doing a course, I love it. He's already done it all. He knows how to do it, but you've got to get qualifications to make sure you can sign off on it.
Okay.
You know, like plumbers, electricians, he's not qualified for that to be able to do waterproofing. It needs to be absolutely legit because it's such an issue if people don't waterproof correctly.
True.
I've watched The Block. It's the thing they get wrong every single time.
That's
ripped
true.
Up the whole bathroom. You didn't get the waterproofing right.
So he's signing up for it. But it's just, I'm like, well, so what time is it? I don't know.
6:30 Saturday night.
It's in a strip club. Really weird.
They need waterproofing.
They sure do.
They sure do. Well, you have to let him go. He's got a watertight argument.
I've said, go for it.
Right.
But it's the same conversation where I was like, what time is it?
Mm.
I don't know. It's all day, like weekend. Okay. So it's on Saturday and Sunday. No, not Sunday. Well, that's a weekend, though. Nah, Friday. Well, Friday's not the weekend. He goes, yeah, it is. Like, it's Friday, Saturday. No worries. So then I have cut him out and the friend that he never can get a hold of, Scott. Now we're just communicating.
Oh.
So I just text him and I said, look, I think it's about time we cut out the middleman. and I just contact you directly because the hippie doesn't know.
Always the trouble with threesomes. They end up hooking up on the side without the middleman.
But I just said to him, and he goes, no, that's fair enough. And he gave me the exact times. And I was like, that's so good. So now I've got the exact times, and we've just realised we just need to – that's it. That's it from now on. So Scotty's not going to answer a phone call. That's fine. So people can call me direct. But it's like I don't want people to think that Scotty's under the thumb. The man just doesn't care.
Did you check with his friend that it's a drop-off situation or do you have to stay?
And is it packed lunch?
Is it a no hat, no play situation?
I'm actually at that level.
I can tell.
But Scotty likes being vague as well. Because now when I say, NATO said it finishes at 2 and he comes home at 5.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It would be like, meh. Well, pubs need to be watertight too.
I removed their water.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
My daughter Rory is 10 years old, going on 25. She's well ahead of her age and I'm already losing arguments and the shade being thrown is...
I feel like she's gotten old, like looks older in the last 12 months.
Mm.
Like shot up, taller, looks like a teenager.
Yeah, she does look like a teenager.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And more importantly, she acts like a teenager. And if this is just a glimmering of what it's going to be like, then golf.
That surprises me. Everyone always says that teenage girls are so calm.
I know. And so easy to get along with.
Oh, yes. You know? My dad loved it. He really enjoyed it.
Just really cheery and happy
all
the time.
I think he was there.
Crying in the corner with his fingers in his ears going la 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 la.
Bev, sort her out. Oh, I can't deal with her.
I'm going to golf. Because yesterday I was at home, it was about 1:30, and the dreaded thing that occurs, what occurs when you're at home and you're chilling and then your phone rings. Who is it?
The school.
It's the school. And she had fallen over. She was playing soccer at lunchtime and scored a goal, so points.
Did the teacher tell you that?
No.
Hey, now Rory scored a goal, so everything's okay. Just want to let you know.
There is that about it, though, because, you know, you get the call from the school, and it could be a range of things. It could be once, like a couple of weeks ago, it was that she had forgotten her lunch. And so could they give her a sandwich? They have to call you to ask if that's okay.
You do get a lot of calls from the school, and I always wonder whether the teachers are told by Rory. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Because you do get a lot.
Like, yeah, it's been a lot lately.
I wonder if Rory's like, and call my dad. And they're like, okay.
This won't stand. Call my father.
Yeah.
And she stacked it pretty badly. She got a big gash on her knee, and it was more that she'd rolled her ankle.
Right.
So she had to be helped to the office.
An x-ray.
I mean, well, no, we didn't get an x-ray because I went and got her and she spent the rest of the afternoon on the trampoline. So she was fine.
It's funny when your parents pick you up, you magically feel better.
Mm. I mean, she was. You could see the knee was cut and her ankle was swollen, but she's a trooper. But here's how I know I'm in a lot of trouble when she turns into a teenager and the fact that I'm already in trouble now. Because Rory's just had a fall. She wants to talk to you. And I said, cool. And I said, so what's going on? She goes, I fell over. My knee's bleeding and my ankle's sore. And I was like, okay.
What about it?
And I said, what do you want to do?
See you at 3, babe.
Yeah. Well, that was my thought. You know, I was like, I've just started a TV show. It's only got 40 minutes to go. You're almost there. You're sitting down. It's not like lunch is over. You're just sitting there. You know, I don't want you to miss out on vital learning. So I said, what do you want to do? And here's where it got teenagery, because she said to me, well, why don't you decide? Like, what you've just said there is come and get me because.
No, why idiot. Don't you decide? You just take it and go, all right, cool, I'll see you at 3.
But then I thought of that.
Is there a lot of blood?
Is there? Are you woozy? Are you woozy? Are you smelling almonds? I thought, mate, well, if she's, you know, if she's saying let me decide, but then I wouldn't be able to sit there and relax going, ugh.
Oh, you're a nicer
person than I am.
See,
that's a problem.
Teenage
girls have their dads wrapped around their finger. Mm. That's exactly it.
Mm. Mm.
I would just go, no, cool. Well, I'll decide. I'll pick you up at 3. You'll be fine, though.
Yeah, and well, the other factor was...
It's what a mum would do to a teenage girl.
Yeah. So, I'll get her to call Kat next time.
Yeah.
Rather than me. Yeah.
Mums would say, you're bleeding, not dead. That's what my mum used to always say.
Or I say to the lady, how much blood? And they're like, well, we've had to wash out his shoes. I'm
going, thanks for washing his shoes for me.
Like stitches? And they're like, there's a lot of blood, Abby. And I'm like, oh, they just used my name. I better go.
Is that more a boy thing, though? Like, because boys get injured all the time.
Oh, well, they've got broken noses, broken thumbs, 8 stitches. Yeah, so I kind of, but I still say only call me if it's an emergency.
It was just a psychological warfare that has already begun that I can foresee
because
in my future.
Because you've taken it on board. Yeah.
I'm a sucker too for Eden.
Like, Rory will say jump and you'll go, how high?
Yeah. Like Eden says to me, if I say no to something, she's 5. She puts her hands together like she's praying and she goes, please. That's her eyelids. You know? Like,
and then
here's
you just
a
crumble.
Pony.
Yeah, you go, yeah.
Your grass would be great for a pony.
Not a chance. Yeah. Not a chance. So did you pick her up?
Of course I picked her up.
Yeah.
Of course I picked her up. Yes. And then she went straight to the trampoline and bounced around like a galoot. And
so
I was
who won that one?
Yeah. Zero to me.
No, you did, mate.
355 to her.
I'm on your side. You did the right thing.
Thank you.
All right?
Thank you.
Now let's go play golf.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Serena Williams and Venus Williams are the most extraordinary women and extraordinary tennis players. Why? Is it because I jumped on the bandwagon after I saw the movie?
King Richard. You've loved them ever since.
Fine, I'll be honest. King Richard was an amazing movie. And what you saw those girls go through and how dedicated they are, I just go, yes, they're exactly where they should be in life. And if we just had 5% of their dedication, we would achieve so much. But it's really hard because they even had to fight. Like, yeah, it was really hard what they had to do. But he was very forceful in their training as well. But when you're watching the movie, I wonder how accurate it is. It's actually written by one of the sisters, not those two. They actually have other sisters that wrote it.
Wow.
Which you kind of go, it's got some accuracy to it.
Yeah.
But Venus Williams was actually the focus, I guess, of the movie and talking about how brilliant she was as a tennis player. If you're a little bit younger, you'll think of Serena because she's the one that went on. But I think Venus got like 7 Grand Slams.
She was great.
It was at Wimbledon they played against each other. It was one of the Grand Slams where they were in the final.
I think a couple of times they have.
Which is incredible. Imagine that, playing your sister such a title like that.
Recommend you going to see the movie. But she's so great. And she, on her bio, has been asked and list the absolute legends of tennis players who have inspired her to play.
Right.
And some of them aren't playing anymore. And you go, yeah, cool. Like Pete Sampras.
Okay, yes.
Yeah. You go, Boris Becker. Yeah,
love
of course.
Boris Becker. He's one of my favorites.
She lists Serena Williams. Of course, that's her sister.
Mm-hmm. You have to.
Yeah. And these are the players that she'll list that are still playing. And she's got Roger Federer on there as well. Nadal, of course. Okay, of course. Mm-hmm. But then people have just been a little bit surprised because she's listed Bernhard Tomic.
Oh. Bernhard Tomic.
Bernhard Tomic as one of her favourite players. And I go, have we not accepted him the same way that she's accepted him? Or does she know something different? Because he tried to play in the Australian Open by getting a wild card, but he didn't get the wild card because I think he's number 435 in the world.
Maybe it's one of those things of she wishes she could have all the fun that he's had over the years. You
is
know,
that
like,
what it is?
Like, oh, God, imagine that. Imagine being able to go out and party and go to nightclubs and carry on.
She never got to do that.
He's a little bit controversial. And I just wonder if we just, have we not accepted him?
No.
I mean, he said he hated Australia. I mean, you know.
We always liked him on the court.
That's
know.
It.
I mean, maybe
yeah.
she's purely talking about tennis, not anything else.
But then he didn't really achieve it all.
No, he didn't achieve, but he still was a decent player.
Maybe her book publisher said, can you just include everyone from every country so that there's something for the radio hosts in those countries to talk about?
That's nice of them. Think of us.
That's sweet. I'll write back.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, there's other Australians that you go, would you not?
Yeah, Pat Rafter, maybe. Yeah,
Of course, Pat Rafter. Yeah. He was playing.
He was the one that was on 100.
Yeah.
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 And they had to.
They said,
do you know who this is? I'm like, it's Pat Rafter. And all of them came back going,
is it Pete Murray?
No.
I thought that too.
They look exactly.
I 100% thought that.
I think that all the time. Like,
I had to wait for the commercial break.
If you walk the two of them.
The yeah.
You walk the two of them into a bar.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh, which one's which?
Yeah. No, sing.
All right.
No, they've changed. Have you seen Pete Murray's on the front cover
of. Yeah, but he looked. That's why I think he looks more like him. He's ripped and
front
young.
Front cover of Men's Health. Yeah. He's done the big transformation.
Yeah. No, 100%. Yeah. Thought exactly the same thing. There you go. Pete Murray's a great tennis player.
So we just need to give him another chance when he come back, you know? He's making a comeback.
Because Venus has said.
Yes, if Venus says, We go, yay.
We go, how high?
Yeah, right. She's onto something.
Okay.
Those girls know.
Maybe that's why she didn't pick Pat Rafter, because she wasn't sure.
She wasn't sure? Yeah, she didn't. She goes, is that Pete Murray or is that Pat Rafter? I don't know.
Stav, Abby and Matt for breakfast. B105.
Alpha Bucks. We play tomorrow, the 10th of February. It'll be a Friday tomorrow.
Yep.
This has been a fast week.
It's been a quick week, hasn't it? Very.
Answers for Alpha Bucks tomorrow are?
Wagon, wine, and a fantastic film, Whiplash.
Eat the wagon wheel.
Eat the wagon wheel.
See you tomorrow, guys.
Bye. Stav,
Abby and Matt. Brisbane wakes up with Stav, Abby and Matt on B105.
Your day was made better by Stav, Abby and Matt. Now search dog parks to find out how Brisbane City Council is making Brisbane better too.